This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. In general, an estimated 80% of people needing treatment for substance abuse in Wisconsin are neither receiving it nor seeking it. Latinos in particular experience a number of barriers to care, from English proficiency to work demands to a lack of insurance and an internalized stigma which causes many to avoid care.
The 16th Street Community Health Centers have AODA, alcohol and other drug addiction programs, and a medication-assistant treatment program that's especially geared toward the population it serves, including those for whom Spanish is their primary language.
Maria Perez is the vice president for behavioral health at 16th Street, and she joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski. She explains some of the challenges in reaching out to the community and establishing trust in such a sensitive field.
It's a difficult enough issue for most people to come in the doors and acknowledge that they have a problem. And I've certainly observed that, and I think we had a year number one, a little bit slow to start, but I'm starting to see indications that it's picking up a little bit. I think that's an effort of really getting the word out that this service is actually available. And we have some very good staff. We have a medically assisted treatment program that we coordinate with our medical providers, and I think the word is getting out. So I have other observations, and they have to do with patients really preferring to seek treatment in their own language, because as you know, language barriers is probably one of the main reasons why people don't seek treatment. They prefer it in their own language, their native tongue. Historically, there are long wait lists and other barriers for AODA services. And in other settings, I've noticed too, with people who are uninsured or underinsured, those services are oftentimes, at least you have to come up with a certain amount of money at the very beginning. So for example, a Suboxone program, many places a person has to come up with a certain amount of money for Suboxone or Vivitrol, if you will, and they don't have the resources, so they just drop out without ever starting.
With 16th Street, we've had you in before talking about some of your other programs. Has it been a great strength to already have established trust with patients who perhaps see just as primary care doctors and then find out about AODA programs if perhaps they were on the fence or didn't even know this kind of treatment existed for them?
What a great question, because I really think it gets at the heart of why the 16th Street, I think, has been so successful. So many of our patients that are walking through into behavioral health and AODA are already existing patients in our primary care. So there's what's called confianza in Spanish. It's like an inherent trust because, they are greeted in their own language, they are seen in their own language, and they really have the immediate trust, and it feels very much like a family in the clinic. And I think that those things are attributable to the success, and we want to leverage that as we start to gain momentum as we provide AODA services.
According to stats from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, the majority of Hispanic individuals surveyed, over 90% reported they did not need to get help because they did not feel that they needed treatment. So obviously this is a big barrier for anyone battling substance abuse, is you need to be motivated and accepting of the help. So how do you as a health professional try to reach out to the community to overcome this, particularly in the Hispanic and Latino communities?
I think you're speaking a little bit to a couple of things. One is the stigma in and of itself regarding substance abuse and just all of those negative associations that go along with having an addiction, not to mention that there are so many that deny that it's a problem. And so many people go to work, they hold a job, they're with their families, and they still may have an addiction. So it's sort of like an invisible problem in some ways, but then, of course, we start to see clinically significant problems evolve out of that. I think that specific to Latinos, what we see, I can give examples with working with men who have addictions. The Latino male, sometimes what's called machismo, which is a prevailing masculinity and a belief that to be a man, I must not have a problem. I must not endorse that I have any problems. So sometimes machismo, which is sort of like an internalized sense of being a man, and that can be a barrier Another barrier worth mentioning as well is there may be legal status could also be a barrier. Fearful of reporting any personal information as you walk through the door to get treatment, and fear that that information will be reported and will result in being deported.
Which I imagine puts additional stressors on someone's life outside of whatever addiction they may be struggling with.
That is correct. Absolutely.
There is also poor retention rates in treatment among Hispanic and Latino populations. What do you think attributes to this?
Some things I've already mentioned, having to do with some systemic barriers. You know, there are fewer Spanish language options, and I think the 16th Street does try to address that. We, of course, see non-Hispanics. We see many, many patients that don't speak Spanish, so I just don't want to imply that we only see Spanish speakers, but specifically to this population, there are fewer Spanish options for Latinos, especially when there's a language barrier. Long wait lists can also be a barrier. People simply don't want to wait, especially with the advent of more severe addictions, you know, advanced alcoholism or some of the opioid addiction we're seeing in our communities. There's program reluctance to accept undocumented immigrants as well. We work very consciously at the 16th Street to overcome those barriers and ensure that we're not in the practice of reporting demographic data to get anyone into trouble. Yeah.
As the opioid overdose and addiction rates have risen nationally and in Wisconsin, have you seen the same in your clinics?
We've seen, you know, we've been blessed. I can tell you that I can probably count on one hand the number of overdoses that have resulted in death in my history of working with the clinic. It doesn't mean that it's not happening, though. And it's expected to be on the incline as well, which is why we're very, very much invested in trying to get education out to the patients, too, to remove that stigma and those barriers. And we see that we need to work extra hard for our young people, too, those who are teenagers and young adults who have some unique barriers related to being Latino. So, for example, if you're coming to this country and maybe your parents are undocumented or you don't feel like you fit in with the dominant culture, those might further exacerbate other problems like depression, anxiety, and certainly linking that to poverty. All of those correlate with addiction.
Right. And something you're talking along the lines of the term acculturation stress.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the whole process of knowing who you are, your identity, one might have a good sense of that in their family of origin as a Latino or Latina. But then coming to a dominant culture where, you know you're in the minority, I think it's different if you're in an urban setting versus a suburban setting. So I think in some ways, there's a great resilience on Milwaukee South Side, for example, because there are higher numbers of Latinos. And there's sort of like an orgullo, which is pride, a cultural pride in one's own ethnic group that can actually serve as a buffer to addictions and depressions and those kinds of things. Where I think that if you are living in a more suburban setting where it's a dominant white culture, and there are other challenges to feeling like you fit in and maybe you're facing discrimination and other things, I think those stressors then can lead to other mental health problems, including addictions.
Obviously, stigmas don't go away overnight. Do you find that since you treat families altogether, all ages within 16th Street Community Centers, are families being more open about discussing these issues, such as addiction and mental health, and therefore kind of opening the door to show it's okay to reach out?
You know, that's a really great question. And I want to say that I do see movement, and I've been doing this for a long time, over 20 years, in working in the field of mental health. And I have seen movement, whereas when I first started in this profession, more hush-hush, let's keep it in the family, let's only go to the priest and talk with the priest about our family problems, or the perception that mental health treatment or substance use treatment is for people who are, you know, either very mentally ill or just lost to addiction. And I have really seen greater receptivity. I have seen a lot of families coming into behavioral health, seeing our substance abuse counselors, and they really are seeking help for either themselves or their loved one. It's oftentimes their loved one, a husband or a teenager, So there is receptivity, and we have to work hard at reducing stigma around. It doesn't mean that you're dysfunctional. It doesn't mean that you're messed up. And sometimes sharing how common it is with a family can help to ease those perceptions.
Right, and having a machismo culture or being seen as literally crazy if you're simply seeing a therapist doesn't help. So how do you help establish trust to let people feel comfortable at looking inwards and focusing on themselves?
Right. So what we do know about working with Latino families in mental health and substance use, particularly with non-acculturated families, we know that, you know, psychotherapy and treatment to us in the dominant culture may look very different than someone who isn't accustomed to receiving services in that area. So, for example, someone from a non-acculturated Latino family might expect a provider of mental health services or AODA to be more like an expert or a technician, or giving them really hands-on advice-giving kinds of interventions. I think with non-acculturated families, the concept of looking inward isn't always something they value as something that's therapeutic per se. Yet, there are other Latino families that, with established trust, that confianza that I was mentioning earlier, they do start to reflect inward as we help them to acquire new skills, whether they're cognitive skills or cognitive behavioral interventions, motivational interviewing, getting them involved in a dialogue about change, making changes in their lives. Behavioral activation. I know I'm using technical therapy terms, but we have found them to be extremely receptive if applied by a provider who has multicultural sensitivity. So a provider who has the knowledge about the culture, the skills, the particular skill set to apply the interventions. But not only that, but have the awareness of one's own biases about the culture that they're working within and knowing who they are in their own inner space with their own cultural identity. So really looking at the whole person through a multicultural lens, I think, is key to having treatment be successful.
You're mentioning all these key factors in developing a successful treatment program. So how do you train those who are giving these services, your therapists?
Oh, boy. That's a favorite part of my job, really. I oversee currently 48 providers and growing. We continue to expand our services, which I'm really excited about. And one of the things that I'm really enjoying, and the providers also enjoy, are any opportunities that we do within the clinic. I have weekly staff meetings, and many times it's about staffing cases, critical cases, and other kinds of cases, talking about interventions and whatnot. But I also use this time to do some professional development. I have a lot of talent within my team. So we promote a lot of professional presentations within our team and on occasion bring outside expertise to help us to enhance our skill set. But we really, really promote multicultural awareness. In fact, when we talk about a case, we oftentimes challenge one another to look through the multicultural lens. So, for example, maybe religion is a factor in the family that's really holding them together as they assist their loved one with an addiction.
With training not just your physical health staff, but now behavioral, all these other programs, as 16th Street continues to grow and serve Milwaukee communities, what are you keeping in mind to move forward and adapt to the needs of the community that are ever-changing?
I'm keeping in mind how important it is to take care of our own teams. These are demanding population challenges. So first and foremost, how to really support the team as they work with very difficult cases so that they don't burn out. So provider burnout, I think I really pay close attention to. Secondly, I just use the word population, and I really want to be able to increase access, not by just continuing to add staff, but really looking at evidence-based practices that are designed for populations. So really working effectively to help a variety of mental health problems, including addictions, but in a very innovative way, because we don't always have an hour with a patient. Sometimes we have 30 minutes, and sometimes we're called down to a medical team to see someone in an exam room. So it really does call upon us to be nimble in our approaches. So those are the kinds of challenges that we have in front of us, because those things you don't always learn in graduate school.
Right. What would you say to someone who is struggling with addiction who is not quite stepping into your 16th Street doors for these programs?
Well, you know, it's very important, and this would be supported by the research, to really try to align with them on a relational level. You can't really do much of anything unless you have a relationship. So it's very important when someone is not ready to make changes to really work on establishing a connection, a relational connection, non-judgmental, having them have the freedom to talk about their values, who they are, what's important to them, and really reflecting that to them and really making sure that they feel understood by you. And I think that when a person doesn't feel judged or stigmatized or ostracized or told in a judgmental way, you have to change or you're going to lose your family, or you better stop drinking or your liver is shot. Those interventions we know don't work. So it's very important to, when you can't intervene directly, it's really important to establish the relationship, because with those foundational elements, change can then move forward as you start to weigh pros and cons of making decisions about change. And that's where you can engage the patient on a meaningful discussion.
Well, Maria Perez, I want to thank you for all the change and influence you've had on many people with 16th Street Community Health Centers, and thank you for coming in to share your knowledge today.
Oh, it's my privilege. Thank you for having me.
Maria Perez is the Vice President for Behavioral Health at 16th Street Community Health Centers. She spoke with Audrey Nowakowski. You can find out more about their AODA and Medication Assistant Treatment programs at WUWM.com. And next week, Leg Effect will feature an interview with someone who has been through those programs.